Your Majesty, enclosed within is a full accounting of the events that led up to the burning of the capital. Much of the first section is based on transcripts derived from a conversation between two of the most pivotal individuals to the events. Other sections consist of my own reconstruction. I used eyewitness accounts whenever possible and tried to remain true to the essential spirit of events when I was forced to go afield. I've annotated the text with observations and analysis I hope you may find helpful. I pray your forbearance for when I lecture you on subjects on which you are the greater expert, but ultimately, I decided it safest to assume on your ignorance rather than the reverse. It is my hope that if you possess as complete a picture as possible of these events that led up to these matters, you will show leniency regarding the Lord Eyre. The council members who are recommending charges of treason and a death sentence surely do not have the whole story. Your servant, Thirvishar Dolores. Part 1. A dialogue between a jailer and her prisoner.
Tell me a story.
The monster slouched down by the iron bars of Kirin's jail cell. She set a small, plain stone down on the ground between them and pushed it forward. She didn't look like a monster. Talon looked like a girl in her 20s, with wheat gold skin and soft brown hair. Most men would give their eye teeth to spend an evening with someone so beautiful. Most men didn't know of her talent for shaping her body into forms crafted from pure terror. She mocked her victims with the forms of murdered loved ones, before they, too, became her next meal. That she was Kirin's jailer was like leaving a shark to guard a fish tank. You must be joking. Kirin raised his head and stared at her. Talon picked at the mortar of the wall behind her with a wicked black nail.
I'm bored.
Knit something. The young man stood up and walked over to the line of iron bars. Or why don't you make yourself useful and help me escape? Talon leaned forward.
Ah, my love, you know I can't do that. But come now, it's been so long since we've talked. We have all this catching up to do, and ages before they're ready for us. Tell me everything that's happened to you. We'll use it to pass the time, until your brother comes back to murder you.
No. He searched for somewhere to rest his gaze, but the walls were blank, with no windows, no distractions. The room's only illumination shone from a mage light lamp hanging outside the cell. Kirin couldn't use it to start a fire. He would have loved to set the straw bedding ablaze, if they'd given him any.
Aren't you bored, too? Talon asked.
Kirin paused in his search for a hidden escape tunnel. When they return, they're going to sacrifice me to a demon, so no, I'm not bored. His gaze wandered once more around the room. He could use magic to escape. He could change the tenue of the bars and rocks to soften iron or make stone fragile as dried grass. He could do that, if Talon wasn't watching his every movement. Worse, if she wasn't capable of plucking thoughts of escape from his mind the moment they entered. And she never slept.
But I do eat, she said, answering his thoughts with a gleam in her eye, especially when I'm bored.
He rolled his eyes. You're not going to kill me. Someone else has that honor.
I don't consider it murder. I'd be saving you. Your personality would be with me forever, along with...
Stop. Talon pouted and made a show of examining the clawed tips of her fingers. Anyway, if you can read my mind, you don't need me to tell you what happened. Take my memories, the same as you've taken everything else. She stood up again.
Boring. Anyway, I haven't taken everything from you. I haven't taken all your friends. I haven't taken your parents.
Talon paused.
Well, not your real parents.
Kirin stared at her.
She laughed and leaned back. Should I leave, then? If you don't tell me a story, I'll go pay your mother and father a visit. They'd entertain me, though the visit might not be as much fun for them.
You wouldn't dare.
Who would stop me? They don't care about your parents. All they care about is their little scheme. And they don't need your mother and father for that.
You wouldn't.
I would, Talon growled, her voice inhuman and shrieking. Play my game, Bright Eyes, or I'll come back here wearing your mother's skin cinched by a belt of your father's intestines. I'll reenact the moments of their deaths for you over and over until your brother returns. Kieran turned away, shuddering, and paced the length of his cell. He examined the empty bucket and the thin blanket tucked into a corner. He searched the walls, the ceiling, and the floor. He studied the iron bars and the lock. He even checked himself over, in case his captors had missed something, anything, when they'd taken his weapons, his lockpicks, the intaglio ring, and his talismans. They'd only left the necklace they didn't care about, the one worth a fortune.
Well, when you put it that way, Kieran said, how can I refuse?
Talon brought her hands together in front of her face and made a tiny clap of delight. Wonderful! Then she tossed him the small rock she'd put between them earlier. Kieran caught it.
What's this?
A rock.
Talon?
It's a magic rock, she said. Don't tell me a man in your position doesn't believe in magic rocks. He studied the stone again, frowning.
Someone's changed this stone's tenure.
Magic. Rock.
And what does it do again?
It listens. Since you're telling the story, you hold the stone. Those are the rules, she grinned. Start at the beginning.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.